Come on, come all, come gather round. Come hear tales both lost and found. Grab yourself a drink with a splash of lime. It's David and Michael's story time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another special episode of Story Time. The debunker of the group, that one that sees a bunk bed and takes it apart, well, that's David Miller.
And the one who will believe literally everything you tell him, well, that's Michael Santel.
And to prove that and to get me some backup in my beliefs, please give a warm round of applause. You hear him on the Chaluminati podcast and YouTube channel. Give it up for Michael Mathis.
Yeah, that's me, because I can't rebrand out of the Mathis
nomenclature. We literally said before we started that we were going to say Mike Mathis, and then say Michael Mathis.
a new one.
It's important that we get the fuck-ups out of the way right at the very top. Oh, okay, man. David?
Yeah, I hear you. I also like that you have now positioned me as, like, the naysayer in this particular... I'm excited about this topic. Like, I don't know why you... I don't necessarily... Like, I don't know anything, so I...
I have a feeling you'll never quite reach the levels of skepticism that my dear friend Jesse Cox ever reaches.
Sure.
And that's okay, but he surprised me the other day when we were doing... This is a tangent, real quick, but in the mini-sode, we're talking about aliens, of course.
Yeah.
And he had a moment, he's like, if these are actually, like, extra-dimensional, he's like, that gives me existential dread.
Sure.
And I don't like that. And I was like, that's the first time you've ever not only, like, internalized something, but it made you feel something. You're making progress, Jesse. You're getting there.
Whistleblower David Grush said they're interdimensional. Representative Luna, after the last meeting, said that.
But Luna's a loon bag. Yes. Just keep that in mind.
I would say, you know, it's funny because we're talking about these esoteric things. David was raised in a spiritual tradition, and then when he became an adult, was like, I was lied to my whole life. I was an atheist by, like, 9. And now I'm into tarot cards and talking about energies and things like that. So I feel like we are Ouroboros of each other.
When we met was like literally us crossing paths on our spiritual journeys and like high-fiving as we crossed to the other side.
If you're pouring an Ouroboros, then I slither through the center.
At some point I'm going to come back around to the other end and be like, literally, God's real again.
I was raised Catholic.
Yep.
I was in Catholic school until I graduated high school. Catholic all the way through. But around 8 or 9... I started having my doubts. When I learned Santa wasn't real, dude, my whole like beliefs in like what was real crumbled, because I had physical proof Santa was coming to my house.
Yeah.
I had a present every year. Jesus has never walked into my house and he just said like high-fived me. So like Santa ain't real. Why is Jesus real?
That reminds me of, I saw a video a while back of this guy who was just like, yo, Christian parents who also tell their kids about Santa, like, you're playing this on hard mode, because at about age 10, you're telling them that was a lie, but the God one is still real. Trust me, believe me. You don't get an Xbox from him, but he's real. Like, it's so crazy.
Well, if you go to heaven, you could have 9 Xboxes.
The fact that our society gaslights children into Santa Claus makes me 100% believe that they are quiet about UFOs. Like, everything you tell me, like, oh, there's no way this is possible. We lie to all of the children. All of us, we drink tea, we're like watching and laughing as these TV shows play, we make movies about it, and then you just have a rude awakening.
What if Santa is real, but he's an extra-dimensional being?
Yo, here's my segue. Here's my pitch. Let me pitch you a 5-minute YouTube short horror or a 1.5-hour movie that's way too long and under budget.
Gotcha.
Well, it's about Santa Claus. Yeah, it's about Santa Claus. But what if Santa Claus was a Santa Claus, but he was like a parasite? And every year he goes house to house, and the last house he goes to, he infects the person there, and then he dies. And then over the year, this person slowly turns into Santa in its horrifying way. And then on Christmas night, he goes around delivering presents, and then he does the same thing.
It's like the Santa Claus, like the Tim Allen movie.
Tim Allen Santa Claus.
Like, horrifying version of that. Yes. I've had this in my head for like years.
It'd be horrifying, like if you did the Tim Allen Santa Claus, but with Tim Allen today.
Yes, yes.
Well, because he gives everyone COVID. That's the infection.
Enough beating around the bush. We have brought on, if you would call, I don't know what else you would call him, a UFO expert, expert in the field.
So, that's dangerous. Don't label me as something I can't back up.
Well, and I want to clarify. So I know that we're talking about like aliens in general. Are we, I'm sure there are like different, like we're talking about aliens, but also UFOs and like the crafts or the whatever, you know, like.
Sure.
I saw Someone told me recently, do they not call them UFOs anymore? Is it like
no, they don't? No, they do not, David.
Yeah, it's like
they are called UAPs, yeah. Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. The government relabeled them, and they also relabeled. Oh, they didn't relabel. They finally gave a definition to something that might be alive in piloting them. They call them NHIs, non-human intelligences.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's
really broad, though, because, like, a dolphin is a non-human intelligence, right?
Correct. Correct. 100%.
And Santa Claus. And Santa Claus.
Not a human.
At this point, and I've said this to Mr. Mike Mathis before, but I will say this to you as well, David.
Okay.
I am convinced the phenomenon is real.
Sure.
I am completely agnostic to what it is. So okay. I'm not, even the term alien is weird because, like, if it's not us, yes, it is alien, but I'm not convinced it's from another place. In fact, sure. We don't see them in other places. We see them here. We see them here with people and have been seeing them for a very long time.
Yeah.
I think... I'm loath to say this, but you probably should just call me Mathis since you're Mike as well. So I can just call you Mike and you can call me Mathis.
See, I always call him Santel.
It's just easier, dude. It's just easier. Continue.
Yeah. Well, I think where I'm coming from is that, like, I don't know about any, and I honestly haven't thought too hard about it in my life. I'm open to, like, the idea that it's real, but at the same time, I think that, like, the thing that turns off for me is I'm like, well, what the fuck am I gonna do about it? Like, how does it change me at all?
Exactly.
So I don't really think about it. Like,
you're like the everyman right now. Yeah. I would consider you the everyman of what probably the general public understands of UFOs or UAPs.
I'm the audience insert for this particular episode.
David is the most basic bitch about UFOs for sure.
It's so true.
Because it's a good reflection as to what maybe the public actually is how they're reacting to it, as opposed to, like, the weird niche holes that I exist in.
But I want to hear and see the weird niche holes. You know, I'm a tourist in the weird niche holes.
Trust me, you're going to hear all of
them. Well, David, grab your disposable camera, bring a water bottle and your day pack, because we're going on an adventure.
Great.
Mr. Mathis, where are you going to start up? Now, I pitched you and you telling us the history of UFOs, but where did you want to start with us?
I think it's probably smart. I think we take it as I think we approach this topic on a general level where, you know, the understanding of the person we're speaking to doesn't know anything or knows very little. And I think where we start with that is, like, you look at it's tough to know where to start, because you could go be like 1947 or even 1945 if you want to talk about the potential Trinity crash where the, you know, Roswell happened and whatnot. And to Illuminati, we did a 3-part series, or is it 4, on Roswell, like deep digging into historical records and newspapers and stuff. There's a lot of weird things that happened around that time that aren't talked about, you know, specifically that, like, the government after this happened for 2 days, the news was talking about this flying saucer that crashed, until we have reports of government officials and police people coming into the radio stations and being like, stop saying that, say this now and say this instead. And, like, that happened. We have evidence of that happening. Now, that still could mean that the thing that crashed was secret government tech,
sure,
or tech from another country. You know, we're in the middle of we're coming to the end of World War II at this point, or is wrapped, you know, at this point. And so, like, it's interesting. The reason that we think that maybe if this is happening around that time, it's because that's the time we learn to split the atom, right? And splitting the atom, nuclear bomb, it creates a huge, huge disaster wave. And it's an insane amount of energy. And maybe the thought is, like, hey, these monkeys learn to split an atom. What the fuck is going on?
We should go check that out. Yeah, yeah.
Right. You know, that's kind of like where the base is. But I think that idea of UFOs is not necessarily incorrect in that Roswell was a human-led endeavor. But the idea of what we think UFOs were now is completely obsolete. I think the understanding of what these things are or aren't, or what we don't know, goes beyond weird machinery and little gray men that might have been inside the craft.
And David,
I think we start at 2017.
Okay.
Where we start.
That's a great spot. I think it's so important that you brought up Roswell. They have continued since the 40s. Every like 20 years or so, they come out with another story of Roswell. In the 90s, they released some report that was garbage. They said they had dummies. The dummies that they would use for these were not created till years later in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Annie Jacobs, a author, well-respected, talked to a person with Q clearance. She was told by a guy in his 90s that Roswell, that Stalin had mutilated mentally handicapped children to make them look like aliens, and as a fuck you to the United States, dropped a craft and to say, I can get to you anytime I want to, and would just, and the Russians just watched and laughed as we were trying to deal with this thing. So Roswell is really weird.
I love the idea that aliens are just a Soviet prank.
I mean,
yeah, psyop. But like, if you go into the history of like, we did MK Ultra, right, for like 4 episodes, something that was very real and existed. But during that, you read about all these weird fucking programs that clearly were not going to work, but they spent millions in trying to figure out how to turn bats into like sonar scouts with bombs attached to their chest, and like wild shit that's just like, or things that just disturb a population. They were wondering what would happen if we came across an enemy training or enemy army on the field. What if we just sprinkled the air with LSD? What would happen? You know how they fucking tried to figure it out? They did it to their own, our own military during their training.
Yeah.
And you can see, you know, videos at the time where they're just like wandering around and being useless. Like, we do weird shit. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something heinous like that. I just, what we have and what is being presented is not, does line up properly for these excuses to actually fit the theory. I guess.
Love it.
And if you're interested in things like Roswell, there's more than just that out there. I would highly suggest anybody go out and research and read into the Rendlesham Forest incident, which is the UK's version of basically Roswell. But we have audio recordings of them in the forest tracking this thing, finding where it lands. And what's fascinating about that is the people, the multiple witnesses that saw it and went up to it, they both saw something similar, but slightly different, specifically the lights. One guy just saw lights. Another guy saw glowing, like, what do you consider, like, writing that he didn't understand.
Hmm.
But the saucer shape was generally the same, but they were seeing and perceiving it differently, which moves much cleaner over to what we think we understand about what might be going on today with them not necessarily being from another planet, or if they are, they understand quantum mechanics and space-time in ways that we are just too monkey-like to understand.
Rendlesham Forest is out of this world nutso-butso, David. Happened over 2 nights. Multiple people were involved with it. One guy saw hieroglyphics. There's missing time. The reason why it matters is the dude who touched the craft is now dying of cancer, and the government would not give him benefits because they cannot acknowledge that he was there, because then it shows some malfeasance on their part. It's really crazy. The long and short of that is the British guy who was in charge of the whole base was like, either there is a conspiracy of liars, like multiple military men are lying to my face, or something unexplained happened. Now, that's all good. That's all good. That's all well said. Let's go to 2017.
So 2017, a man by the name of Jeremy Corbel, he's been around, he's been in the UFO industry. I love this man and simultaneously despise this man.
When you say the UFO industry, what do you mean?
He's created an entertainment. Like, Jeremy Corbel belongs to the Stars Academy, which was the corporation that was kind of built by Tom DeLonge of Blink-182.
Okay.
He's like a big fucking UFO guy, and the whole shtick of the Stars Academy was to like research and also try to get information out there. Santel?
David, while you might go, that's ridiculous. This is, where is your proof of any of this? Well, when WikiLeaks hacked the DNC, the Democratic Party, there was all of these emails from Tom DeLonge with generals and the staff of what would have been Hillary Clinton's cabinet talking about, how do we get the conversation going about the UAP issue?
Like, essentially, like, to be like, how do we prep the public to be able to hear about this kind of a discussion? Or
there's not so black and white, but like, thank you so much for letting me meet with the general. When can we meet again? Saying things like that. And also individual, I forget, David Podesta.
Podesta emails, yep.
The Podesta emails where he was this liaison of putting all of this together. And Podesta is difficult to bring up because he's also related to the conspiracies about Pizzagate. And his name's all over that. So it's difficult to what is real and what is not real. I'll bring up his name again in a little bit.
Okay, so...
I mean, Podesta's working within Biden's administration right now.
That's what I was about to bring up later on. Okay, we're talking about it now. Podesta is being added to Biden's second administration. We don't know what role that will be. He has lots of... He's worn lots of government hats, but... Yeah. He's very passionate about getting information about UFOs out there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, got a question. If you got a question, please.
No, no. That was great. Thanks for answering the question about the industry. So let's, yeah.
Jeremy Corbell is a man that is, like I said, I hate and I love him. And I hate him because he's doing what is almost necessary in that, like, he's making entertainment to get the info out there. Sure. Not that he's, like, lying or anything, but, like, the most recent thing he did a 3-episode documentary, quote-unquote, series about UAPs. That's where we released the jellyfish UAP footage recently. But that was on TMZ. And, you know, there's a good side to that where these are, you know, TMZ's reaching people that probably don't know anything about maybe beyond the basics. But also it's TMZ, so it also is, like, it adds a level of credibility, whatever. It's like Grush. Yeah. It's like Grush going on Tucker Carlson. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, it doesn't help your case remotely. But beyond that, back in 2017, he released a few videos that you're probably familiar with at this point of a few UFOs that are being watched by military infrared cameras. They're being kind of followed. There's commentary in the background from individual military members. And when they were released, the Pentagon and the DOD were like, we can't comment. This is not anything we want to worry about. Just forget about it. It's not a big deal. And they kind of just let it. And that's where it kind of died. It kind of died until 2 years later when the DOD came out and was just kind of like, hey, yeah, those were actually ours. Okay, bye. And they just made a very quick announcement confirming they were real, didn't make really a splash. Nobody cared because it's been years out at that point.
Confirming that the videos were real or that the objects in them were theirs?
No, no, the videos were real. Because they were leaked and they were like, no. But they were like, and then 2 years later, they confirmed that they were videos from within the, within the military. But again, they waited a couple of years for, I don't know, could be reasons of just like clearance and paperwork because it's the government's over compartmentalized. People like to throw the conspiracy. They waited for it to die down. I don't think the government's that organized a lot of the time. But
well, especially then, that would have been like during the height of the Trump presidency, right?
So yeah, like, it's like the first year, exactly. I'm not even the
one thing that surprised me was that like he didn't just come out one day and just be like, oh, by the way, aliens. It's
because they wouldn't have told him. I don't think they tell presidents.
That was my thought too.
Because... You know, if we're jumping ahead, but I think a lot of the craft are within private company hands. That's why. I think they're Lockheed Martin, Raytheon. If we have them, they are the ones. I mean, Grush openly pointed fingers at Lockheed and named names in Lockheed and said, they have one. Go look. And they got to get clearance to go look. They can't just walk in and be like, let me see. But yeah, that's another reason. If you keep it with a private company, you don't have to tell the president because now you don't have to worry about government oversight in any way. So yeah, 2019 kind of acknowledges, and then from that point on, Jeremy starts dropping little videos here, a photo there, and they're a mix. Some of them are absolutely fascinating, like the Mosul Orb, which is last year. It is a color video tracking a silver, perfectly silver round object in the Middle East over a war zone in color as it moves quickly, moving out of the way of things and just zips fucking around. And this is out. You can go watch it right now. It's been acknowledged that it's real. It is actually a thing of like unknown origin.
Sure.
And it was big for a week. And then the media moved on to other things. And nobody cares anymore. And now nobody even thinks about that when they talk about UAPs. So there's a lot of evidence that Jeremy dropped. But then there's other things that he drops, like a photo of what is supposed to be a triangular craft. But it was taken near a military base, which UAPs typically go that way. They are often seen there. But there were clear trails where you could see where this thing was moving. And it was at the date given was found to be a time where they were doing training exercises. So it's very likely what's in that video or what's in that photo is flares. Now, he says he knows people that say it's definitely not. There's video that shows it's not. But unless you're putting that video out, homie, it's all just trust me, bro energy.
Sure.
And Jeremy has been off about things in the past. Wouldn't be the first time that he's jumped the gun and got really excited about something that ended up being nothing.
Yeah. Trust me, bro, is a phrase that gets thrown around in UFO world all the time and everybody hates it.
Well, and we talked literally about our upbringings and like the just trust me, bro argument is what started me not believing religion anymore.
Yes, and it's just, and you should have, I do not trust me, bro energy. I just don't. I watched the entire community on Reddit of UFOs spend 3 weeks picking apart something that was so painfully obviously CGI that it should have been dropped then and there. But they, like, trust me, bro, energy is strong in that community. They think everybody that that quote-unquote leaks something is a whistleblower, even if it makes no fucking sense. And it was the video of the MH Flight 370 that got went the Malaysia airline one. And somebody just made, like, an airplane and two, like six swirling vortexes on objects on each side that made vortexes and, like, teleported it away. And I'm just like, you think this is real? We even had, we had debunkers find the footage that they, the effect, rather, that they used for it. And people are still saying that they are paid shills to misinform the public. And I'm just like, this is the problem. Like, this is the issue.
The well is poisoned with misinformation as well.
Everybody's willing to just consume and buy everything. Well. And it's detrimental. It's detrimental. To the point where, again, the government had to relabel UFOs to UAPs because UFOs had been so fucking poisoned and so laughed at that they can't even use it without people, like, looking at it and being not taking it any serious.
Sure.
So, you know, fast forward now, and now another couple years later, 2024, Jeremy does a three-episode thing on TMZ, and he releases the most recent thing, which is the jellyfish UAP, which is fucking very, very weird. And a photo of what he considers the chandelier UAP, though I've read a lot of people and seen a lot of other photos that say it might just be right behind a missile as it's flying, and it's causing that symmetrical flare. People say they've seen similar shapes. Unless we have a video of this thing, again, Jeremy goes, I've seen the video, but we don't have that video, my guy.
Yeah, so, like, there's all these great videos where, like, we saw the first 30 seconds, that's the shit part, but if you only saw two more minutes, your head would explode.
The jellyfish UAP is a great example. There's two camera angles that we see of it moving. It looks like a plastic bag, kind of, that just floating, but there's no crinkling or waving. It still is aboard and just going. And it's going pretty quick. And you see it, again, two camera angles, so you know it's not a smudge on the lens or bird shit on the lens. But then it ends, and Jeremy's like, and then it goes over the ocean, into the water, 17 minutes and 48 seconds later, it comes out of the water and shoots off into the sky at a 45-degree angle, but I can't show that to you. And I'm just like, well, what the... Why not even say it? Like... Why, like, and if you can't, why are you saying it?
Yeah.
Because saying it helps nobody. You just make yourself more suspicious.
I feel like I remember seeing just, like, a picture of the jellyfish UAP. It was, like, recently, right? Like, that was, like,
like, a few weeks back.
It just reminded me of the little probe droids from Star Wars.
Yes, 100%.
Yes, yes. I dead on correct. it's weird, you know, and it... Yeah, they're UAPs, and yeah, we don't know what the fuck they are, and yeah, Jeremy pretends or says he has all this other footage that we never get to see, which makes it infuriating, but we're still kind of in a position, at least right now, where most people don't buy it.
Yeah.
And that's in by design, but I kind of want to end with the Kirkpatrick stuff. I just want to talk a little bit about where we've moved now in terms of what we think these things might be in terms of the problem.
Hell yeah.
One of the reasons I think the government might be hiding, or if they're hiding it or are trying to, is because they just can't fucking figure it out, right? I don't think there was a secret meeting with Eisenhower back in the 50s where he shook the hand of a Gray and made a deal that Grays can only abduct 37 and a half people a year.
Oh, David.
You
know,
37
David,
and a half people a
David,
year?
Yeah. There's a story that Eisenhower made a deal with Gray aliens that we got technology and they were allowed to take some people. But guess what, David? They took a lot of fucking people, okay?
Yeah. Well, they didn't follow the law.
What technology did we get in trade for 37 and a half people a year?
Great question. If we go back to a book written by Philip J. Corso the day after Roswell, supposedly from the Roswell craft and then from whatever this was, he doesn't necessarily talk about this, but we got microchips, circuit boards, night vision,
The internet.
Like all of the...
Wi-Fi.
Yes, and there's a number of people that would say, like, oh... In 1909, we were right. We had barely making cars, right? Engines, and here we are, 100 years later, and look at that leap. That must have come from aliens.
Sure.
Which is, I think, underselling humanity's ingenious.
Right, and like sort of the curve of technology. When you make a more sophisticated tool, you can use it to make even more sophisticated
tools. Yeah, it's what the sigmoid curve it's called, that technology just rockets up until it's at the very peak of what it can do, and then you see everything rocket down to a new normal with that technology. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here. I don't want to sit here and try and like plead the case that aliens are real or not. Because sure. I'm with Mike. I think there is something happening that's very clear after the government continually keeps making new programs to study it and study it and study it. The question is, what is it? And as we've kind of moved through technology and as we've kind of learned, you know, evolved in the technology sphere, the question of like what these things are gets more weird, I think, than anything else. Because if these things, no matter what these things are, they imply something that we cannot comprehend or understand.
Sure.
So if they're from another planet, that means they're flying through space at a speed that is, our physics tell us is not possible.
Right.
Because you would need to move faster than the fastest moving particle, which is just light through empty space. However, as the past couple of years have gone on, we've made breakthrough after breakthrough in quantum sciences, mm-hmm. learning more about our reality and how unstable it actually is, how wobbly and specific time and space can be to a location or an individual. Like, time is moving faster for one of us right now due to just how the different inches in elevation. It's just such a microscopic nano-like sized difference that none of it matters, right? It doesn't matter on a macro scale.
Me and David are definitely closer to the ocean, so we're a lot more wobbly from wherever you are in central time. You're like fucking mountains or some shit. I don't even know how to deal with
exactly.
that.
I always talk about as an example, like your clock, all of our computer's clocks tell us the same time. They all come from the same place. Mm-hmm. But that place that comes up with the consensus of what time is for everybody right now has 8 or 9 different clocks that all run from different power sources. One's like atomic powered, one's electricity powered. And they all are telling different times, even though they're all in the same room. And they have to take all of those times and just kind of pick the average. And that is time. And that's our time. Like, you know, we've created a microscopic black hole the past year or two where we've actually tore a fabric in space-time for a nanosecond the size of a molecule, but we did it. We studied quantum entanglement, which shows that things are not measurable until they are observed, and things can exist in two states at once. Last year, they vibrated 16 micrograms of a sapphire crystal into a state of quantum instability, but that's not the actual word it is. Quantum... fuck, I can't remember the word off the top of my head. But what it means is the crystal was...
we're going to call it quantum flux.
Yes, quantum flux. It is... they were able to vibrate into a state where it was both moving and not moving at the same time.
Huh.
You know? And you can go all the way back to 1899 with the slit experiment where they discovered light is a wave and a particle, but it shouldn't be, but it is. And, you know, we just don't understand the nature of our reality.
Right.
There's just more beyond our brains can comprehend. Even on a more basic level of like animals, right? A tick has 3 senses: pressure, heat, carbon monoxide. It can't see shit. Doesn't know what humans are. Does that mean we humans don't exist? No, of course not. We're still here. The tick doesn't know what a human is. It doesn't know you exist. All it knows is you provide food and you're warm, and that's all I care about because that's what evolution says I need. Who's to say there's anything beyond our 5 senses that we just evolved to not need to survive in whatever environment we grew up in or, you know, our species evolved from.
And even on like a basic level of like that idea is like the idea that like, oh, our eyes only see certain wavelengths of light, but there's literal huge parts of the spectrum of light that is happening, but we just don't
see it. The mantis shrimp sees like so much more different colors. And like the world we live in is so much more vibrant and unknowable than what our brains do.
Yeah.
You know, we are, and there's also the weird, wacky thing of, we have a little input lag too. There's microseconds between what we see and what our brain says.
We literally talked about that a few weeks ago on one of our episodes where we said like eyes are the time machine of the body because we are never seeing the actual present.
No, never.
What if like the trippiest drug trip would be just to see what a mantis shrimp sees? Like eventually you put on a goggle and you're just like, it just looks like Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. You're like, oh my God, this is what real reality is.
It sucks like that everything's evolving into a crab and not a shrimp.
That
fucking scene in Minority Report when he goes to that place where they're like, they give you another experience. And like in that movie, everyone's just using it to like fuck as the opposite gender or something. But it's like in our reality, everyone's going to do the mantis shrimp program.
I'd be ready to do it. But you know, you kind of throw that as a level of like, okay, well, that's a lot to sit. It's a lot for your brain to wrap around. It's a lot. You can't even really comprehend it because you've just never been able to experience it.
Yeah.
But you know it's true just simply because of how other animals work and how our own eyes work compared to other animals. And then you look at, okay. And then you look at the quantum science breakthroughs and you start to realize, yeah, reality is very, very permeable. It changes. It gravity affects time. And if these things are real, then there could be just ways that they are able to travel in with an understanding of quantum science that we just don't have yet. And them being able to move through space-time in a way that's almost instantaneous might be something we discover in a million years. Who fucking knows? Because, you know, we're also the back-ass end of the galaxy that we live in. We're the backwater planet. We're on the outer edges of the Milky Way, meaning right. We are babies compared to whatever was in the center. Give us another million years. Either we're going to wipe ourselves out or we'll be something else, right?
Yeah.
So if they're coming from other planets, that makes, you know, to me, that makes sense in terms of how they would travel. But there's also the option of they're just from Earth. They're just a terrestrial origin. You know, I don't want to go to reptilian kingdom living in the hollow Earth. I don't think that's the case.
That's another episode. That's
like 9 episodes. But there's a possibility that these things, maybe they evolved underwater. Maybe they exist in a depth that we can't get to.
Sure.
We can barely fucking get any deeper than like 30,000 feet under the water or 20,000 or whatever it is. We can't get down there.
Please do not bring up the tragedy of the Titanic or of the people that went and saw the Titanic without James Cameron's blessing. They were cursed and they have all been...
I knew he was going to bring that up.
Here's the thing, like, I learned the lesson of not getting a Mad Catz controller when I was 13. You know, I only go first party at this point. They just need an actual first party controller. But yeah, we can't go down there. So if these things are not, even if they're not from here, that's a perfect place to hide. Sure. But if they are from here, like when the comet hit or the multiple different evolutionary extinction events that we had on planet Earth happened, not everything in the Earth just died.
Right.
Things had to survive for us to be here.
Alligators survived. Alligators, they keep telling us alligators haven't changed in a million fucking years.
Yeah.
How crazy is it that like dinosaurs were around and alligators were like, I'm fucking perfect.
Dude, done, alligators done. Peaked early, dude. Fucking
early. Peaked. They were like, not, I can take down a T-Rex or a fucking gazelle. No fucking problem. Yeah.
And then the extinction event happened. All the dinosaurs died. The alligator was still around and was like, oh, all those little furry things on the ground? I'll just wait till they come to me and then I'll still eat them. Like,
Exactly. Peak evolution is an alligator and a crab. But I wouldn't be necessarily, you know, surprised if that ends up being the truth. If there's something here under our water or deep within the cave systems of something that evolved, you know, alongside us or even further than us because they didn't die off. And maybe that's what they are. They're maybe watching us. Go ahead.
I was as I was pointing at your camera, so that's how he knew that I was talking.
Yeah, about yeah, yeah. Sorry.
You know, it's funny that we say in, you know, it's in the earth, and we think about it here. I wonder if there's a vibrational element to it, and like, yes, what you saw is they went into the earth, but like, if it's not on this plane, right, or is existing in another place at the same time, I wonder if that also is part of whatever this inner earth thing that keeps popping up all the time.
It'd be funny if they could just do a subatomic vibration like the Flash and just meld through the fucking planet.
Fucking Kitty Pryde their way.
Just like right through. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, again, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me. But the one that for me, the big one that is the one that makes me wonder the most, especially as we keep, again, pushing the boundaries of quantum science and trying to learn more about what is real, is the idea of like, what if they've always been like here? And we just cannot perceive them, whether that means they exist around us in a way that we just don't have the senses to do so, or, you know, science bears out, like, we know that there's a first, second, third dimension. We assume the fourth dimension is space and time.
Sure.
What if they just exist in a different kind of reality or higher dimension? Not that they're like smarter or better beings, but
no,
you know, something. Yeah. Sorry.
It,
go ahead.
It makes me think of another a perfect example from media and pop culture from the movie The Others,
where they're like, I've seen The Others.
I'm about to spoil it a little bit.
Please do.
Spoilers.
This is the Nicole Kidman one?
Yeah, yes. They're in a house, and the house is haunted. There's ghosts. Turns out that these people are the ghosts, and the people that they thought are ghosts are the real people. But the line that you're like, what if they're always around us? It made me think of the line, they're everywhere. They say the house is theirs.
I mean, honestly, though, you know, maybe it was soft disclosure all along.
Yeah.
The others was soft disclosure. But, you know, the idea that they might be on top of us in just a different dimension, sure, or what have you, or and they're just, they accidentally peek through, or they're not actually, you know, meaning to pop in, or when they try to interact with us, it's just in a way we can't comprehend anything beyond 3D space. That's just how we are built to exist.
Sure.
And that, you know, there's a lot of weirdness that falls in line with that more than a lot of other things. And sorry, go ahead. Yeah, Mike, please.
The dimensional part of it also links up a little bit with the atomic bomb stuff, because mm-hmm. if we know that when we irradiate something, like, it's affecting multiple levels, we can see what it's happening here, but we are unaware of what would be happening in another dimension. And if we literally are ripping holes in fabric of space-time when we drop these nukes and things like that.
Yeah, we split an atom in half.
Right. Here we blew up an island. We could have blown up, you know, the equivalent of some town on the other side, and they're like, oh shit, we now gotta go see what the fuck is happening downstairs, because all of a sudden, you know, Tokyo yeah. Disney Bay it's just like, got ruined.
It's like yeah. we're like roaches in the wall of the extra dimensional being's yeah. like house. And they don't really pay attention to us until we accidentally, like, poke through and give evidence really? That we're here, fucking stuff up. So then
but,
they, like,
but
show
that
up.
Might have been, but that might have been the catalyst of them being, wait, what are they doing? Is that we fucked something up. Yeah. Maybe we made a big blip in the you know, whatever it is. But it's, you know, it's interesting because there's that level of, and if you, this is, we're kind of like, we pulled you down the first two steps of the ladder into the pool, and then I just shoved you into the deep end and said, aha. Because we can't go over all the things that give context and credence to this.
Right.
Like the government official sightings and reports and all this and videos. Like all that is out there. But we're kind of just dragging you into the weirdness right away. So I apologize for that. But it's like, you know, every abduction scenario, right? I don't believe every abduction scenario. I don't even know if 1% of them are real.
Yeah.
But there's always a through line through a lot of them, even before Grays and alien abductions became big in pop culture.
Sure.
This is like, you know, even back then. But there's almost always an element of weird personalization involved with abductions. The Rendlesham Forest, for instance, is the touchback on that. Somebody saw lights while somebody saw glowing runes. They sure. both saw the craft. But there was something different about it. There's a story about a young boy who, I think it was the early 1900s, where he walks onto the ship and he sees just like this weird monkey man, essentially, chopping this faceless meat on the side. And on the up ahead, somebody was doing woodwork for some reason, but he came from a farm. And this would have been stuff he would have seen on the daily his parents do. And if these things are kind of, you know, coming from a higher dimension or whatever, then, you know, we bring the question also is, what is consciousness, right?
Yeah.
What is, who are we? And are these things using us or our brains or our consciousness to, like, try and interact with us? I go to that as well, in that, like, even in the early 1800s, what they weren't seeing silver discs back then. They were seeing weird ships in the sky.
Airships.
Or weird hot air balloons with men in like, suits that covered them head to toe. Like, things that made more sense for the technology they understood at the time.
Sure.
But more warped into UFOs in the 40s. And then when that became pop culture, it's kind of like everywhere.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
do wonder, you know, if consciousness was kind of, they were using it to shape their three-dimensional existence to
like
attempt to
present
like,
or, to us in a way we can yeah. comprehend, essentially.
Or maybe it's not even like intentional, right?
Oh, sure.
Maybe we're a Linux system and they're fucking Microsoft Windows and they're trying to interact with us in a way that we can't understand, and it's our brains trying to make sense of what we see by pulling references that we know. And saucers and little gray men are fucking everywhere now in terms yeah. of pop culture. If that's why we're seeing them, it would make, you know, it just a weird line to trace of the way these things have changed in their look and where we are now.
Was it Kenneth Arnold that termed the phrase, it looked like a flying saucer? Like
I think so, but it's been a while. I got off top of my head. Look, hang on.
He was a famous pilot and reported this thing. He was a very well-respected person who was like, no, this is what I saw. It looked like a milk saucer flying across the sky, which is where that term comes from. And then flying saucers were then seen all the time. And when I say all the time, I mean like that vernacular, but like again, if we're going to the historical records, Washington, D.C. had a month of UFO flyovers in 1952, where one night they scrambled jets because they saw something in the air. A week later, the thing came back. And again,
it was in a newspaper. You can read the newspaper about it.
The only...
it happened. There was a 1993 NFL game that got paused because three weird objects showed up in the sky and were doing weird things and didn't move. Like, this video footage of them pausing it and looking at the things in the sky, and the camera looks at them, yeah, and they go away and they just continue on. You know, that's just like, it's so weird to me how, like, these things happen. We have evidence of them happening, and society just kind of goes, eh, and moves on with their life. And I'm like,
which is like the exact sentiment that I had in the beginning of the episode, where I'm like, well, even if it's real, like, what the fuck am I going to do about it?
Yeah, whatever. But yeah. If you see that,
but if I saw it,
God.
Well, you know what? And now that I think about it, like, if I saw it, I maybe in the days after, I'd be like, yeah, that was fucking weird. Anyway, what am I having for lunch today? Yeah. You know,
but David,
and that's the other thing. Yeah,
the weirdness around it is so high strangeness, because while what we're talking about is things in the sky, people then report after seeing these things, if they remember them, because sometimes they don't remember them.
And I have a story about that.
They then report paranormal or poltergeist events happening in their homes, and almost like a hitchhiker event, where people will go somewhere, have an experience, and then that experience will then follow them from the West Coast to the East Coast, and then their family is involved with it. And then their kids see it and stuff like that. And it's like...
It's weirdly generational for some people. Like, it literally follows, like, generations. And
like, my dad had an experience, his dad had an experience, I had one when I was... Yeah, okay. Yeah,
We don't, you know, who fucking knows why that's happening? No one knows. That is no way to know, because these things are not making it clear. And a lot of the time, they're very trickstery. They almost seem like they're like kind of like moving around in ways that just don't make sense. And then it's impossible to get a good image on film, because they're just little dots in the sky almost always.
The Sasquatches of the air is what I call them.
Damn right.
David, we don't have the time to get into it, but the biggest fight in the Bigfoot community is if they are real or if they are paranormal UFO shit. And that fight happens all the time online.
And there's a terminology for when, like, a big long string of high UFO events happen in an area for a week or two, and it's called the UFO flap. It happens when, for some reason, for like a week or two straight, days at a time, multiple people are seeing things in the sky, and then it ends.
I call it the flappening. If you Google it.
The Phoenix Lights is another great thing to read in.
Yeah.
Thousands of people reported, called the cops. Pilots were flying in all over Phoenix, Arizona in the 90s.
Kurt, it's not new. Fucking Russell saw it from his airplane with his wife and his kid.
Yeah, it's crazy. You remind me of like someone seeing a UFO and forgetting about it. I was talking to one of, you know, a few months back, I was playing games with my buddies back in Boston, and I was talking about, you know, the show and what we were talking about, and he goes, you know what you just reminded me of? I saw something weird when I was, like, a teenager. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, my dad was driving us to school. It was me, my sister, older sister, and my dad. Dave is, like, 14 or 15 at the time, which would make his sister, like, 18 or so. And they were driving home from like a night event at school, rather. And as they were driving, Dave said he saw something like zip into the sky and like stay there. And his dad pointed, they all waited, like went silent for a bit. And the thing moved around and then took an impossible turn at a 90 degree angle and flew out of view. And as it left, there was like a beat or two of silence, and everybody went, did you see that? And everybody confirmed. And then he's like, I just remember thinking weird. And then moved on with my life and haven't thought about it until now. And I'm like, that's fucking wild to me, because I feel like I would never forget something like that. But it's a lot of people doesn't really bother them. Yeah. It's not really anything big.
And especially if you have literally no idea what it could be, then it's almost like your brain is like, well, then don't fucking stress about it. Like,
I interviewed this guy that was doing like a Spider-Man fan film, and I might be wrong about the project, but I asked him, he grew up on a farm in like Ohio, and I said, hey, have you ever seen a UFO? And he was like, no, I've never seen anything like that. Pause. Oh, well, one time when I was 12, my whole family saw this orange glowing orb that flew over our farm, hovered there and then took off. And I was like, why do you not talk about that all the time? But it was funny that...
And why, when you're asked, did you see a UFO, you go, no. Right. Well, actually.
Well, and that's one of the other weird things in UFO world, David. You know, we're talking about crafts and stuff like that. Over the last maybe 3 years, now we're talking about orbs and things that were maybe considered like, ooh, that's ghost stuff. It's now being considered under the same UFO umbrella.
Hence the change from term flying object to aerial phenomena, right?
But they changed it again, David. David, they changed it again to unidentified anomalous, because the thing now, they will see it go from a it'll go from space to air to sea with no drop in momentum. Just shunk, shunk up and out of there.
They call it transmedium craft. Where they're able to go between air, water, and assumingly through the atmosphere when they lose track of them, without a loss of momentum, without any resistance. I just linked a video of the 1979 football game that I was talking about, you said big orange orb, and I literally saw a video this morning, and I need to go find it real quick. I don't know if you have like an editor, but...
No, this is all going fucking... I mean, David's the editor,
I'm the editor, so...
Yeah, okay, perfect. And Schumer yesterday said the U.S. government has gathered a great deal of information about UAPs over many decades in star quotes, but it has refused to share it with the American people. That is wrong, and additionally, it breeds mistrust. I don't know if you know, but another big thing that happened last month or the month before, Senator Chuck Schumer created the UAP amendment, where he was modeled after the JFK things to declassify a bunch of UAP things.
Oh, okay.
A week before it was supposed to go up to vote, three Republican House members gutted the bill and basically gave the military-industrial complex an out and never has to comply with it. So it completely got gutted, and then it got passed. So there's no... Nothing. There's nothing. It's literally a dickless bill. It can't do shit.
Yeah.
But nobody, that wasn't on the news. It was never talked about because I don't know, that people don't really care. And I mean, what are people going to fucking do, I guess?
Yeah.
Call nobody knows about it.
To tell us about UFOs, I guess.
Yeah. You can do that. People do, but sure. It's weird. It's just like, all these things are happening. They're real and they're happening. These government actions are happening. But everybody is like more willing to just go, oh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, if it's nothing, then even if it's not aliens and it's a secret government like weapons manufacturing technology workshop, we have already discovered there's no oversight and billions of dollars are being funneled to them. We deserve to know, irregardless of if it's aliens or the government doing shit without oversight, because that's not how it's supposed to function. Whatever it is, though, is happening without oversight with billions of dollars unaccounted for, which is why this bipartisan 8-person Democratic House committee has been investigating them. People like AOC is in there alongside people like Matt Gaetz. You know, it's like, but it's a weird time. And then you have people like Kirkpatrick coming out trying to just say it's nothing, which is his little statement is filled with complete lies, which is absolutely fascinating to me. But we'll get to that. Sorry. Were you saying something, Mike, and I interrupted you?
No. Just piggybacking on all the things. I mean, I think that the it's so funny because there is the proof of all of the things, or the lack of proof, but almost like we can't see dark matter, but we know it's there because of its effect on gravity. I don't know.
But the thing is, we don't know, but that's because of our understanding of math. They're just like, well, this, let's do this. And that works for now. And we just don't know.
But I think that's part of what this is. They don't know what it is, but we can see its effect on things. So we know that there's something there. But what it is the question mark that we are continually left with.
I also just watched that video of the football game.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah, I mean, it happened. It was on the fucking news. It was like, it happened. And I literally, it was the thing I was looking for. I fucking can't find it. But it was a video of someone's like putting it out online, and it was a giant orange orb that kind of like sunk down, and it was clearly not CGI looking, but I want to find it. And then it hovers for a couple minutes, and then it moves to the right and it hovers, and then it rises and fucking vanishes. And it's just a big orange orb. Orange orbs and blue orbs. Those are the two big ones that people consistently say they see. But what do you got? Open.
Well, I sent the wrong thing. I'm trying to send. Okay. I'm trying to send David the jellyfish thing, so he can take a look at it.
Oh,
so
I looked it up earlier when it was mentioned.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Cool. So fuck it. Continue.
So then, where does that take us? right? There's all of this weirdness. There's all of this infighting. There's all of this, what could it be? We don't know what it is. Where does that leave us as of February 2024?
Tantalizingly blue-balled is where it leaves us. It really leaves us in a place of frustration, because in a lot of ways, there's been a lot of progress, a lot of movement on the UAP thing. More like the government is taking it in a way that I haven't seen them take it since, like, I think really the 50s and 60s was the last time we had any sort of hearings around this kind of thing. And there's clearly a lot more than we realized happening behind the scenes, whether it's aliens or just government black site projects that are just not being reported. Regardless, there is something there. But with the UFO phenomenon, it leaves us in a place, I think it leaves us in a place of not too dissimilar, honestly, from where we've been in the past 20 years. In that the public hasn't been budged all that much. We, as like UFO enthusiasts, I think that the world has definitely changed, and the narrative around what UAPs are has shifted hugely. But the general public's understanding of UAPs, I think, just hasn't moved.
Yeah.
It hasn't moved. And a lot of that is because of people like Sean Kirkpatrick. I don't know how much you know about the AARO, David. Do you know anything about the AARO?
No, I don't think so.
About a year, two years now, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the AARO was created. And what it is the basically the government program, public, not secret, to track UAPs and to study UAPs.
Cool.
And when they went in, the very first thing they said is, we're going to look back at all the files dating back to 1945, and we're going to go through them. We're going to study them. We're going to try and figure out what this shit is. They were quiet pretty much the entire time, with the occasional weird, like, kind of almost mean toned, spirited remark from Kirkpatrick about, like,
how
I don't know why he was doing this job when he so obviously did not enjoy it.
And David, he blows people up online on LinkedIn. He goes on long rants on LinkedIn.
He is literally in charge of the government's AARO. And while he was still in charge, he made a LinkedIn post that was basically shitting on his own, like, what this whole thing was.
That's so funny.
So fast forward to last week, and he was now in the circles that I, like, hang out in the UFO world, it had been rumored for about 2 months that they were removing him and putting him in place, but there was no confirmation. Last week, we learned Kirkpatrick is stepping down, he's leaving, and they're putting somebody new in his place to run the AARO. And on his way out, he wrote an op-ed that he posted for everybody to read that basically is like, here's what I discovered in my time at the AARO. Now, mind you, before he could even post it, the DOD had went through it and approved everything. Okay. So it's not like he just got his own words out there. But he basically says, Grush kept saying about little, like, other planetary visitors. When that, right out the gate, I was like, oh, this is going to be just a giant ball of lies, isn't it? Because Grush specifically has said multiple times in multiple interviews to the hearing in Congress and behind closed doors in the SCIF meeting, I don't want to call them extraterrestrials because I don't like that's not what I understand where they're from.
Sure.
I prefer just call them NHIs because we just don't know.
Okay.
But Kirkpatrick immediately was like, you can go read it. It's very sarcastic. The whole thing is very sarcastic. he says Grush is talk about, you know, aliens from other planets and stuff, which is not true. But then he goes on and says, everything I saw, no evidence of aliens. It's all earthly or just, you know, nature, whatever, this, that, and the other. It's a big nothing burger. Sorry, guys.
Gotcha.
The only reason that UFOs are being pushed is because there's conspiracy theorists inside the government pushing it. Since that's been said, Schumer came out and was like, we need more disclosure. Like, is Schumer a conspiracy theorist?
I don't know. The idea that he, like, secretly is, like, just a,
yeah,
like a nutcase for this stuff.
But the other thing, the same day that Kirkpatrick dropped his op-ed, the DOD also released a statement regarding UAPs, a one-page statement, very simple. And really, all it says in pretty plain terms is they literally say, we don't have any means funding or means to study the UAP phenomena in any sort of coherency. So basically, the DOD basically came out and was like, we actually don't really have an ability to study this thing in any comprehensive way.
We can't figure it out.
Which goes completely against what Kirkpatrick is saying. But per Kirkpatrick's was an op-ed and got pulled by the news. The DOD's was a government statement that nobody talked about.
Sure.
Right? So it completely ignored. Kirkpatrick's kind of gets blown up. The other thing that Kirkpatrick doesn't mention in this, and he mentioned early on while he was in the AARO, which made all of us kind of skeptical that it was going to do anything good anyway, he was operating under what was known as Title 10 clearance. So Title 10 clearance means David, he can look at the basically moment, the Army.
The moment you get into UFO world, you then have to start understanding the mechanism of how our government...
You literally have to start understanding the government, and then you learn how fucked up the government just runs.
Right. Yeah. So...
So what is Patrick Title 10 clearance?
Title 10 clearance.
Yeah, and he said he was going to be exclusively using the ARO with Title 10 clearance. Title 10 clearance means he gets access to the Army and military stuff. Sounds pretty good, right? Except when you realize what he needs is Title 50 clearance.
50!
Because Title 50 clearance gives him access to intelligence community information as well as war zones. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't have Title 50 clearance, he doesn't have any access to the UAP footage in active war zones, which is everything we have seen leaked to the public. One of the biggest ones was the Nimitz encounter. You probably have even heard of the Nimitz encounter if you don't recognize the name.
Sure.
It's the pilot, multiple pilots that were flying over in, this is the 2017 videos leaked from this.
Okay.
They were flying over the ocean, they saw it, they were tracking it, they followed it, it was moving in ways it couldn't, and then it dipped into the water and they saw something bigger sink. Like, essentially that. They have it all in reports. They have...
And the person who saw that was Commander David Fravor, who, no joke, is like a Top Gun. He is an instructor. He trains our military. He didn't go further because he loved fucking flying so much. He is one of the most credible individuals. When he says what he saw, there's no like, well, maybe he was on the sauce. No.
And no, keep in mind too, this guy didn't come forward right away. People kept coming to him, asking him to move forward. He said, no, I have no interest. I don't want to be a UFO guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to UFO conventions. I have no interest in that. But eventually, like years later, he finally relented and was like, okay, here's what I saw, because the videos leaked. And
once he came out, then Ryan Graves came out, who's another pilot who saw this, who has said a lot of things, talked about seeing a metal, a silver, a square inside of a silver orb.
Yep.
And he said when they started upgrading the systems on their jets, like the jets all had the old operating system, and like 2018, they started bumping everything up to the new system. He said they ran into these things every single day.
Thousands are reported every year, highly on the West Coast. I mean, the East Coast is a huge hotbed for it. But there was no official way to report UAPs until 2019, if I'm correct, my memory serves. Literally, they did not have any way to report their UAPs. They got laughed at. They kind of made notes in their book about seeing, and that was it.
Sure.
Then that's only very fucking recent that we have it. But I bring up the Title 50 and the Nimitz thing because Kirkpatrick also publicly said, this is not hidden information, he didn't look into the Nimitz encounter, and he knew as much about the Nimitz encounter as the public knew. So what the fuck was the purpose of you even doing this?
I mean,
like, and why are you shitting on it if you didn't even do, like, basic scientific method shit of looking at everything?
I guess to me that sort of lends, like, credence to the idea. At the very least, I could see how someone would be like, ah, see, the government's trying to hide it from you.
But that's
they're going through these motions so that they seem
like... And then you sound like a crazy person is the problem.
Yeah.
Because you look back, too, like, the ARO is fascinating because it's the first public one that we are aware of, like, that we have.
Sure.
And with Kirkpatrick going, it's not being closed down. It's continuing. So if he did a great job, why is it continuing? But remember, we had Project Blue Book in the ATIP. These are all projects that were to study UFOs that were totally secret and denied the years they were doing it. And then they became and acknowledged in public like a decade and a half later when we're discovering ATIP exists and they're actively denying ATIP.
And like, and just to give some, let me just read what those are. So in the 2017 New York Times article, there came out that Harry Reid,
another senator.
Senator.
Sent into trying to get UFOs.
Had,
Democratic senator?
Yes, he Democratic was, yeah. senator, head of majority of the Senate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had paid a group known as ATIP, which was the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. And then when the funding went away for that, the next group that popped up was AARO, which stands for the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. You know, rolls right off the fucking tongue.
It's labeled this way to be like purposely just like boring and kind of like meh. Like we know CIA, FBI, but think about it. We didn't learn about what's that group that Snowden leaked about? Begins with an N. We know they're very NSA? Prominent now. Yeah, we didn't know about the NSA until Snowden leaked. Like, and they're huge. Yeah. And we had no idea they were real.
It's
and
always been funny to me that everyone's like, oh, the CIA tapping your phone. It's like, bro, the NSA is
no, you don't have to, man. So we got GPS than, built into these things now.
Well, and if I were to quote my father, what do we know about DARPA? You know what I mean? Like, there's all of these other weird... And the point, to piggyback on what you just said, David, like, our government says there's nothing to look here, but you spend millions of dollars over multiple decades looking at this thing and you have
or at the very nothing. Least, like, looking in quotes, because if you're not giving full access to things or if you're not, then like, that's what gives fuel to this. Like, see, they're hiding it because they're not even trying that hard.
Yeah, it's like they said, go study potatoes. And he's like, I went out there. We didn't dig into the ground. Potatoes, we found no existence of potatoes. It's like, you gotta dig the fucking ground. They're right there.
To me, it sounded like you said ghosts eating potatoes. And I was like, dude, that's a mystery I'd like to look into.
They just drop all their bodies and it falls right through. I'm failing to remember the acronym, but the AAWSAP... Oh, God, there's another one, right? It was a subsection.
Yes, OSAP was the name of it, David. That is OSAP. Correct.
That is OSAP. Correct. Oh, thank you very much. Lou Elizondo, in 2018, when he talked about ATIP and its existence, he also claimed that existed. And to the government actively said that's not real. Susan Gao of the DOD said he's lying. Like, all these people are lying. You know what fucking came out 2 days ago and then vanished from the internet and I can't find it? The actual military.gov/budget/Jan whatever got posted, and you know what was in there? Funding for the AAWSAP from 2018, still going on today.
And David,
and you know what happened in an hour? It 404'd. It's gone.
Yeah.
I feel insane. I feel crazy. I have the link. I still have the link. But it's real. The government posted it. It's like, and then they took it down. And an hour and a half later, I feel nuts.
And David, OSAP, the program he was talking about, stands for Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Sure. Again, things that don't roll off the tongue. And if you did not know or hear about this, how could you even FOIA? How would you even go to the government and ask them? Because if you say... Right. Do you have a UFO program? They would go, let me search UFO. Nope, not a one. In fact, you know, we didn't find out the term UAP until Hillary Clinton said it on a late night talk show with Jimmy Kimmel. She was the one who told us, oh, we got to type in UAP.
And so you take, like, and this is just like a piece, but like all this context surrounding then, you know, Kirkpatrick's announcement. When you take it in, the logic kind of bears down to, well, he's not just being honest. Whether he's actively lying or he was just forbidden from looking into the things he needed to look into, or he just didn't care. Because in Project Blue Book, there was a man by the name of J. Allen Hynek who was hired to run it, much like Kirkpatrick. But he was told, come up with just normal reasons for these things. He barely had any funding and like three dudes working for him. They barely gave him anything. And they gave him like hundreds of sightings. And he's like, and they were just like, just come up with reasons. Just come up with reasons and move on. And he, you know, that's what he did for years. But as the years wore on, and unlike Kirkpatrick, he didn't leave after a year or two. He started coming to a conclusion that like, while most of what he was seeing could be explained, there was a not insignificant portion that made no sense, that had all kind of similar ties, including physical evidence that there was something that was depressed in the grass and burned a little mark in a triangular pattern. Like, he's like, there's something here. And sure, I cannot in good conscience say everything is
swamped ass nature. On the whatever.
Yeah. David, funny enough.
He came up with swamped
ass.
It sounded to me like that's where that would come from.
Yep. You That's J. Allen Hynek was the man who created the term swamp gas for Project Blue
Book. And he left the government and continued to look into UFOs. And, you know, he was a...
Until he died.
Until he died. And in the 70s, he was the one of the correspondents...
Until
the
government killed him?
No, he didn't kill him.
I'm trying to fuel these flames, man.
But, you know, funny enough, let's go back, though. We've mentioned it, but let's state it here. One of the things that happened last year was that an individual with... high-level clearances, known as David Grush, came forward, and that was one of the things that he claimed, saying that not only are these programs happening and are legal, but that people have been killed over them. People have been silenced.
Lives ruined.
Lives ruined. People impersonating.
Credibility's tanked, yeah, all that.
All of that stuff. All of that stuff.
And what's fascinating, cause, so like with Grush, like he didn't come forward on purpose. The reason, because he was going through all the legal channels to basically be an internal whistleblower to tell the government, hey, you should look into this stuff because money's going here. I'm being told X, Y, and Z. Shit's weird. And the only reason Grush became public is because it was leaked. The document that of him filing the whistleblower complaint was leaked. And by that point, now he has no choice. Now he is public. He's a public individual. And he's doing his best to just do this all by the book. And he did. He did it all by the book, but not without consequences. One of the most public ones was about a year ago. Somebody within the government medical community leaked his mental health and personal records from 2014 in that area, and showed that he suffered from PTSD from being in Afghanistan. He was an alcoholic on and off, but he recovered. And him and his wife had issues because he had PTSD and he was an alcoholic. Nothing that immediately should dismiss him as like not. It's not like he said he had schizophrenia and has hallucinations. He had war trauma and had a struggling like personal life with his wife for a while, or you know, whatever. We don't know who leaked it. We just know they were leaked, and it was picked up and run with by multiple media, like newspapers and TV, and basically made to look at like, look at this guy. Why are we trusting him? Kind of thing. And what frustrates me about that isn't even the breach of privacy and leaking this man's personal records, but the implication is if mental health, yes, then trust, no. Like,
right.
Just because the man has PTSD is the inference that we're not supposed to trust what he says.
Ever says isn't real, right?
Exactly. So what was the point of leaking it? Like, why did that happen? And that
I believe him even more.
I do too. When
I feel like if you went through the trauma of the theater of war and understood the destruction of humanity, and then were presented with this other thing where you're like, oh, well, it's clearly not A, B, and C. I've experienced those, and it's some unknown X factor. It makes me believe him even more.
Yeah. In context around what he was doing in the government before all this, is he was basically the middleman between the UAP branch and the intelligence branch. He was he processed information. He was like looked into these things. That was his job. So like, it's not like he came from like just out of nowhere. And the other thing people like to say is Grush makes it very clear. He has not seen any bodies or any craft. He's simply saying what other whistleblowers have come to him for. And one of the big things the government runs with, I mean, like the media and other people run with, is like, well, just a guy told him these things and he's believing it.
Yeah.
Well,
he didn't see it himself. Yeah.
Well, and it's true. He didn't see it himself, but it wasn't a guy. It was a bunch of people over the course of years coming from different parts of the government being like, hey, man, I know you're like the UAP guy who's like looking into things. You should probably look into this. Like, go over here. Something like the money going that way. And so many whistleblowers came to him that he made the decision to file the complaint.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Mr. Mathis just said a bunch. David, how many people do you think is a bunch?
I'm going to say, if it's over years now, I don't know, but I'm going to say like 30.
Higher.
Oh, wow. 150.
Yeah. Lower.
Okay, great. Split the difference.
He said he's, the number has been said 40. I've heard between 40 and 50, but between 40 and 50 individuals came to him.
Over years,
to just be like, hey, bro, there is something happening here.
Wink in this direction.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of it on the inside seems to be basically a current, like, butting of heads between the old guard and the young guard coming up. The young guard's like, we need to be making this public. And the old guard has no interest.
Yeah,
We don't know why. We've heard a bunch of reasons. There's people in the government, and this is starting to bear out a little bit if you listen to the House members who went to the SCIF meeting and then have talked about what they heard. A lot of them say, some people have been saying, like, the old guard is, part of them is very religious and don't see this as a weird phenomenon, but see it as demons. Like,
yes, literal demons or angels. Sure. Yes.
And now we're seeing house members coming out and saying, you got to link them more like biblical angels. And I was like, why are you saying that if, like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's, maybe there is that part. There's it's also all, the part is, I mean, think
it,
is.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, it is like that kind of, the idea of, like, you know, sort of how ingrained for a lot of people, at least in this country and this government, like religion and specifically in this case, Christianity is like, oh, this kind of talk certainly opens up a bunch of questions they really don't want to have to think about or answer.
Well, you're dead right. That's a big theory and concern, I think, for a lot of people is like, well, if they're real, what's going to happen to a lot of the religious folk, you know, right. Like what's going to happen? Because ontological shock is a very real thing.
Yeah.
And if these things show up and they're made real and people are like, no, they're real, a lot of people's internal worlds are going to just fall apart and there's nothing they're going to be able to do about it. And that's painful as shit. Like, that's so hard to let, basically who you once were has to die now because your entire understanding of the world is different.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's certainly a fear. One of the big ones that I think I more am in, like, would be more inclined to believe is that there's a big, you know, basically a Cold War tech race happening right now. If we have recovered craft, it's very likely other opposing big countries do as well.
Sure.
And people are, you know, the big question people have is like, well, if they have all these things, why isn't anybody coming out and just saying it then? If there's all of this pieces of evidence, why aren't they saying it? And I would point to the nuclear bombs arm race as a similar, like, thing. Because whoever gets there first wins.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're still thinking in terms of borders and countries and fighting wars over beliefs. And if you're the first one who can figure out this UFO tech and you can have craft that literally defy physics, you won forever.
Yeah.
You win. That's it. It's like the nuclear bomb to end all nuclear bombs. Are you kidding me? Of course,
especially
there are countries,
when you strap
including
a nuclear
the United
bomb
States,
to a ship that can move like that.
Right.
Let's take over the world first, and then we can worry about that stuff.
Yeah, well,
that wouldn't surprise me.
And that's, you know, it's funny because that's one of the reasons why, you know, why is this happening now? Why are we having these conversations? One of the reasons that is that more countries are going into space. China has now gone to the moon. India has now gone to the moon. Japan has now gone to the moon. And supposedly, they're going to start seeing this shit or whatever the fuck's
I've
on the moon
so
or
when
whatever
we find out that we really do have Autobots and Decepticons
on the other side.
Where I want to end before we, like, the conversation is, if we just say all this is happening, never mind, you know, the government implications and who we believe and who we don't believe, the question is then why, right?
Sure.
What is happening? Because a lot of people, you know, are like, you know, their reasons for kind of rebutting the UFO thing is like, really, the aliens are coming all the way out to Earth to watch a bunch of, like, underdeveloped, you know, primates throwing explosive rocks at each other. Come on, we're not that important. And I fucking agree. We're not.
Yeah.
And that's not what I think is even fucking happening. If they're even from another place, the best thing that makes the most logical sense is what's known as zoo theory. Not like we're being kept as a planet in, like, a showcase.
Sure.
But we're just being observed. We're being watched. What
I mean,
what's watch life
a human nature. Like, we send explorers and scientists and researchers out to super fucking remote areas to single celled organism that grows under a piece of ice or whatever. Like,
you want to fuck yourself up a tiny bit and be like, oh shit, go read some alien abduction scenarios, some more of the more legible ones, and then go read how we capture and track animals in the wild.
Yeah. Yeah,
a group
that,
of,
that totally
right?
makes sense. In
a group of scientists do not let themselves be seen or heard, right?
Best they can.
They keep themselves. They then interact with
we
these species.
We tag them and then we put them back.
They remove.
Literally, do medical tests to see how they're doing.
They remove sexual material from them. They remove lymph nodes. They remove, like, the things that the biologics of them, right? Which we see here. People talk about that, but then whatever the fuck cattle mutilations are, right? Which... on one point, there's, like, I've heard, like, weird, like, Skinwalker Ranch, you've heard the weird, like, there's predators and they are killing the cows. But but then there's also...
Oh, they're assholes.
Right. But then the other part of it is, a lot of the time where these cows are getting abducted is near nuclear testing sites. And the parts that they remove are the parts of the body that get affected by exposure to nuclear radiation. Well, if you start cutting up humans, people look at something. If you cut up animals, no one looks. So they're looking at the spots that you would see. How bad has the radiation got? You know, most of Nevada has been fucking nuked. Like, we tested bombs there ourselves. The United States has dropped. I mean, we attacked another country once, but we've bombed ourselves like fucking 40 times. We did it under the ground. We do that shit all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure our fucking DNA and our, like, it's fucking us up in some way. You know? Yeah. And that's an absolute, like, you know, it's genuinely, a scientific curiosity makes much more sense to me than we are, like, a focal point of Oregon energy that they need. You know, that shit doesn't, fuck that shit. That doesn't make any sense to me, and it's dumb.
You don't like the Joe Rogan, the pineal gland looks like a pine cone, and the Pope's got fucking a pine cone, and they're sucking out our pineal energy.
No, I'm sorry, Joe Rogan. I do not think the man shit on David Grush, but thinks like that shit is like real. But so the zoo theory makes a lot more sense to me, and especially with a lot of how abduction scenarios are going. There's also the idea that there's multiple, maybe all of it's happening. Maybe they're from planets, and also there's
the things that we're seeing that don't make sense. Who's to say that all of these are the same group of beings, right?
For sure. So, like, another example is that if they are from a fourth dimension, right? You know, thinking logically and reading, trying to understand best from what scientists say about what they believe the fourth dimension is. When you make a fist, right, and you hold it up against the light, you see your shadow.
Right.
But if you just look at your shadow and you know nothing else in context, it looks like a weird, just straight up thing with a bulb at the end. There's no way to understand it in the second dimension as it is. So what if these things that we're seeing that make no sense in terms of their morphology is a fourth dimension, like, shadow or something peeking through, appearing in the third dimension is the only way it can, because
it makes me think of the Plato, the shadows in the cave, like, thought experiment.
The shadows in the cave allegory in that debate. Exactly, dude. I literally was just reading up stuff on that again, like, very days ago recently.
Yeah.
Weird.
I think that this, and then the other one that I think that, you know, ultra-terrestrial, other thing, you know, the other one that really stands out to me is
ultra-terrestrial. I like that term.
Yes, fun. That they've, right, we've been here X amount of time, but if something's been here a million years longer, it's like, yeah, don't go bother with the fucking neighbors. They're crazy. We're going to do our own thing.
We're the fucking drug addicts who, like, moved in upstairs after moving away from mom last week, and they're like, downstairs being like, just shut the fuck up.
But the other one that really stands out to me is the time travel element, that the beings that we are seeing are future humans that are coming back and are dealing with us now. Because, again, to the abduction phenomenon, these things come to humans, they take ovum and sperm, they fuck us. Right? Like, why would something else come and fuck
us? Dude, I wish they fucking would. No. Strap me to a machine. I don't care. I won't tell anybody.
I think you and David would love to be, I think you would love to see some alien interventions in your lives. I think that you would really get along on those ships. But that,
we'll see what some weird shit they're into,
right, but all of those interactions are with us, and then they are having relationships with us, right? Like, why would another being fuck us? If they are humans, where their morphology is they're bipedal beings with fingers and arms, if something evolved someplace else, why would it also happen to evolve the same way that we were? Right? You would assume that its planet would have a different morphology, right? Kind of.
Unless the theory that, you know, life can only occur on planets like Earth, and so maybe the most, you know, evolution, like the direct evolutionary path to
Goldilocks zone, like, planets.
And there's also the idea of, like, convergent evolution, where, like, two things develop, like, the same kind of trait, but they're not related, you know? Like, that, those
it's
things
not possible.
I like
the time travel theory. The problem I have with time travel theory is it opens up more questions about, you know, I already don't think time is linear, just from what we understand about reality itself.
It's like
very black circle or block universe theory.
It's like Donnie, like, Darko. There's a worm inside of you.
Block universe theory is the idea, again, that, like, I think Einstein is the one who kind of was moving towards block universe theory with his theory, like his understanding of reality, which is the idea that our universe is just existing. Time doesn't exist, in that we understand just everything all at once is happening all the time, and we are just moving, you know, our consciousness is moving linearly through it as we can only understand it. So time travel would have to break Einstein's understanding of space-time, which I'm fine with.
What the fuck
so
did he
far,
know? Come on,
so far,
what
everything
did he know?
He's believed has turned out to be true, and he believed time wasn't linear either, which, you know, he had a famous quote, was like, you know, it, you know, losing a friend or them dying is sad, but they're not really dead. They're just over the hill behind you, and just have to, you know, you'll get back. Maybe one day you'll go back there, and we just do this forever, which I don't know if I like her. I didn't really enjoy the first 30 years of my life. I don't know how long to do that forever, but, you know, I don't remember, so it doesn't matter. But if these things are from another time, does that mean, you know, maybe block universe theory is not right, but is there, does that mean it's predetermined? Are we going to be looping back on ourselves, which is, that means has things always existed always? Because that immediately introduces chicken and egg scenario.
Right.
Branching universes, potentially, or branching infinite sort of timelines with minor changes on minor decisions. Maybe they're coming, but the other thing is, like, if these guys are time travelers, maybe they're coming back to watch fucking something horrible about to happen to us.
Right.
Like, maybe they're about to watch the event that turns what the next change in who we become moving forward. I don't like that theory for that. I don't like that part of the theory either, because I'm like, I don't want to be alive for that. I'd rather just be dead before that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you buy more into the time theory, Mike?
I think it's
fun. I don't think I buy into
it. It's fun. It's interesting. I think it has more pluses in the abduction phenomenon in terms of what people are saying and their interactions and, like, the tracking of those bloodlines, the fact that it's like your grandmother and then your mom and then you, right? Like, they're like, I don't know. Wouldn't you, if you could go back in time, wouldn't you check up on your family lineage to be like, oh yeah, I know how this goes. We're going to make sure that mom marries a different man and see if we can maybe get some stronger genes in there.
But then does that mean you go away? You know, like, can you fuck with the timeline? Like,
see, I don't think
that. It's the can you be your own grandfather question, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in The Stupids, he was his own grandpa, so I don't know. Mathis, where does that leave us then? We have all of these things up in the air.
Let's take all of that and sum it up into one brief sentence.
Where does that leave us at this moment?
Absolutely ball tickled is all really it leaves us at this point. For us in the UFO world, it leaves us in a position of, I think slight optimism. But we still don't have, we're not at a place of answers, really.
Right.
What's interesting is we're more at a place where this has kind of guided us toward questioning reality. And that's kind of where I'm always going with it in my mind. When I think about these things, I'm always led back to, well, in order to understand them, I feel like we have to understand what reality is. And we just can't do that yet.
Yeah.
We're just not there. I would, in terms of disclosure, it's tough to say we've really moved forward, because it really feels like we're just doing this after Kirkpatrick's op-ed. It just feels like Project Blue Book and ATIP all over again. But what's interesting is this time around is AARO is continuing, and there's going to be new leadership, and maybe they, I'm curious what they do. Do they go for Title 50 clearance? Do they try to do more things, or is it going to be a continuation of Kirkpatrick's kind of doing nothing, sarcastic barbing at the people who are interested in looking into these things and, move on to continue just putting out disinformation? And I don't mean that in the conspiracy way. I just mean that in the, like, what he said in the op-ed is factually untrue that you can literally go check and, like, fact check him. The thing is with people today, just even with the internet at your fingertips, people don't ever go that extra step to, like, research. So I say, if you're listening to this and this is your first introduction to this kind of deeper understanding or maybe deeper layer of the UAP world, always seek context and be skeptical. Like, if people say something and you're like, what the hell, this is so weird, go look. See if there's a bill or something that was put forward. Do your research. That holds true to just life, but with the UAP thing in particular, you really got to dig through some fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And when videos come out, don't buy everything whole cloth. Just fucking be skeptical, because there's good stuff out there that is factually real and genuine to watch and go, what the fuck is that? Instead of, like, the fucking CGI MH370 plane being teleported away into another dimension. Like, that shit, don't bother. But it doesn't leave us anywhere, I think, more on any more solid of a foundation than maybe where we were 20 years ago. I think I'm a little more optimistic, but there does seem to be some sort of internal push and pull of people who are trying to whistleblow and people who are desperate to trying to not let the cat out of the bag, whatever the cat is.
I think that's where the optimism kind of comes in for me, is, like, optimistic that even though we don't really have any more answers now, like, it seems like the push is getting stronger to get some answer.
And I think a lot of that is because we have the internet now.
Yeah.
And we have social media now. And we're not relegated to the news on the TV and a newspaper or a magazine anymore. We have unfettered access to complete raw reality at our fingertips 24/7. People who say, like, well, why if they're so good at keeping a secret, why do we know about it? The answer is they're not good at keeping a secret. That's always been the answer.
Yeah.
Shit leaks, has been leaking for decades. Like, that hasn't changed. We just don't have any solid answers.
The speed with which that information and the reach that information can get is
exactly
just exploded. Yeah.
Well, what about you, Mike? Like, do you feel similarly, like, where we are right now? You're newer to this than I am. Like, I've been in the UFO world since high school. Like, I've been super into it. You are a fresh recruit.
I'm aware of everything. I turned my back on it in 2010 and then got back into it again in the later half of it. I would say that I think it's like football. I think we have moved the ball down the field, but I don't think we're in field goal range. I don't think we're in touchdown range. I think that at the end of the day, we still don't hold any cards.
Yeah.
And it feels like this poker game that we keep trying to get into and let me ante in and we just can't get there.
Are we on a clock? You got to get out of here.
No,
we're fine.
No, okay. No.
The one thing I wanted to bring up just before we get out, and it relates to why they might be here or why are they showing themselves now. And it's something we should have said right at the gate. Fucking AI.
Mm.
So AI is here. It's out there. It's large language models and completely primitive. And there's, you know, I'd say 99.9% chance no sentience in these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's here. And as we were talking about earlier, when technology shows up, it builds on itself.
Right.
And now we have a technology that not only builds on itself, but Bard in particular, not ChatGPT, is actively using the internet without being prompted to continue to build on its knowledge. Like, it's motivated, quote unquote, to go out on its own and do things. Mm-hmm. And it's going to build on itself. The question is, where on the curve are we? And is this true? Like, have all the theories been true about humanity's next step in evolution is our own, you know, our own creation, technology merged with ourselves? You know, are we about to take the step where the line between biology and technology begins to be blurred a little bit? I mean, we know Neuralink just put something in someone's brain. Can't wait to read how they die in a couple weeks.
Right.
But, like, you know, we're on the cusp of all this shit. And what if these things, like, just have seen, you know, have watched before and have seen other life forms come to this point? And what if we're on that point where we're about to blow ourselves up or about to embrace what is inevitable and the AI or technology is about to become one of us? And if the time travel theory is true, you know, these grays are a weird mix of biologic and inorganic. And if that's where, maybe that's where nature always goes with sentient life, is eventually, you know, we're able to shape reality to be useful to us. And then we start to take physical reality and merge it with ourselves to make ourselves better.
Right.
Maybe this is where we're at right now. I don't fucking know.
Mm. Well, it's humbling. I think it's all, yes. I think it's all humbling. And I think that, you know, there are still so many unknown unknowns. So we cannot speculate on that, but I think that there are known unknowns that I think that we can further move down the past. I think that the unknown known, I think, is what we're trying to get access to.
Now we start to sound like a crazy person. You see how this quickly goes out of control?
We sound like fucking Donald Rumsfeld. But a known known is, David, let's go to lessons.
Let's go to lessons. I was trying to see how we were going to.
What have we learned today, boy?
The first thing I learned, now I have a lot of lessons. The first thing I learned is, don't let the police in your radio station. They're just going to fucking ruin the broadcast. Keep them outside. You keep those radio signals strong.
I have my first one, and some of my lessons will kind of feel full circle at the end. But my first one, and it kind of ties in with what you just said, Santel, don't trust the government.
Yeah.
Don't trust the government.
I wrote MK Ultra would make a great Mortal Kombat game. I don't know if it's been a Mortal Kombat game, but, like, I definitely want to play MK Ultra. I feel like
they've shied away from that specific title for a reason.
They may have. It's time.
I think they did. I learned that 2017 was a crazy year. What a year. Trump's second year. Shit was weird. There was a lot going on. And I wrote, yes.
Well, I was going to say, my next one was don't trust me, bro, energy.
Never. That
was one of the first things we said.
I wrote, if you're going to visit the Middle East, fly over in an orb. Just like, see, get out of there. It's really difficult if you land. Just like, kind of check it out and then get the fuck out of there.
The military will watch you curiously, but won't shoot you down.
Yeah. I wrote, a paid shill is a great job. How do I get that job? How do I become a Russian troll farm guy? Like, that seems like a great fucking job.
I have one that we said, this term got said at some point in the middle of the podcast, but Faceless Meat is a great band name. Like, that is really good.
I love that.
I want to meet Sigmund Kerr, the Sigmund Kerr, the younger brother of Sigmund Freud. He's into different stuff, but he's definitely down. He's definitely there.
It's called sigmoid. Sigmoid curve. Thank you. My bad. Okay. I fucked up. I called it a Sigmund curve. It's a sigmoid.
I wrote, if you're wobbly, lay down. If the room is spinning, sit down, take a breath, figure out what's going on, then continue.
I have a thought. Is this topic? I wrote, this topic is a lot like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
Yes, David.
That is an old ass commercial that is stuck in my brain forever.
I learned that science is sexy with its vibrator and its slits. There's just a lot of stuff going on there.
All pent up energy.
And I also wrote, guys, if they got that endless shrimp, you got to get to the Cheddar Bay. It's waiting for you. It's a great deal. They lose money. Just go hungry and don't fill up on the biscuits.
One of my last lessons is the easiest way to feel crazy is to know things that the government doesn't want you to know.
Bro, you've put it. You
started yelling it earlier, and I was like,
10 out of 10, bro. Do you see? Do you feel a little crazy now, though? Like, are you like, oh?
Well, because literally, like, you guys say things like, "Oh, it makes it seem like I can't trust that guy," and I feel like this is the way that goes, and I'm like, wait a minute.
I have lots more lessons to learn. I wrote, have kitty pride. If you have a cat, put it on a flag. Let the world see that shit.
I told you. I told you he's just going to take something we say and just run perfect. With it.
Science, just like in the wilderness, is always pro bears out. If we're going to attack something, we're just going to keep eating it until we figure out the answer to it. I wrote, a lot of meat work on a farm. Oh, yeah, you should get a degree in meat work if you're going to work on a farm. There's a lot of meat-type activities.
Okay, so we both had something to say on the same moment.
But that is actual class courses in Texas, dude. There is actual, like, just raising. Like, one of the things they have to do out here, they have to raise a pig to kill it at the very end.
Just like the Nazis. That's one of those
things you hear about. I was going to say, like, the soldiers who are given a puppy or whatever, then have to kill
it. Dude, when I learned that after moving out here, I was like, I got to get out.
I learned that Matt Gaetz is one of the gatekeepers holding this information back from us.
Terrible.
He's absolutely also holding terrible on to underage people.
Hey. I wrote that the CW's got to bring back Arrow. I know we have A-Tape. It's not as good as the show. Terrible. We got to get back to the other shows.
God damn it.
I wrote, the Mandela effect is real. I don't know what it's real. We're fucking with something.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, but we know. We talked around it.
I'm trying to figure out where that came from.
We talked around it. I wrote, Hillary Clinton knows. I don't know what she knows, but she knows. I wrote, if you are butting of the heads, that means you're upside down. Just turn around. You just get back on your feet. You don't need to be upside down like that.
It's so, I every episode is, I have to remember.
I'm like, who said that?
I wrote, fuck Goldilocks. She's a home invader. She's a criminal. She should not be inside people's homes. You should get rid of her.
Funnily enough, I think we had a similar lesson to that in one of our fairy tale episodes.
I wrote, chicken and eggs are delicious. That's an egg fried rice. That's a delicious treat. Doesn't matter what came first. I'll take a number two. It'll be delicious at dinner time.
You'll take a number two, will you?
I always op-ed for a bed. If I'm going to sleep somewhere, I prefer a bed, but like, I'm not opposed to a hammock, of course. And then I wrote, UFOs, just like COVID, do the research. You have to do it. Find out what's going on out there. True. It did leak from a lab, everybody. Do not trust Fauci. It is important that you know what is going on. And then I said, if you're going to blow the whistle, you should put your cat in a bag. The cat's going to be very upset by that loud noise. Keep him safe in a little area. They love to be in bags and boxes. Keep them there. That way you know that they're fine.
Okay. And then I have my last lesson.
Oh, your full circle one.
It comes full circle, which is just, once again, I got to the end of my list, and then I had one more thing to reaffirm. Don't trust the government. That's the biggest takeaway from all of this. Is don't trust
you took the away government. The right lesson.
That is the right lesson. Just like another great lesson is to head on over to the Chilluminati. Go subscribe to it. You can also find them on YouTube at the Chilluminati Pod. You can also, you know, this topic is a sinkhole of money, and if you want to know to get to the end of it, you really have to follow the money. One of the great ways that you can support Mr. Mathis is go to patreon.com/the Chilluminati
and get Alex lesson there.
Listen, I know how Alex operates. I know if I'm gonna have you on, I still gotta give that out there.
Incredible.
Is there any way our audience can just follow you if they want to know more of your musings about this?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, because I'm never going to call it X.
None of us do.
Mathis Games, MathasGames. That you search that term, that's you'll find me pretty much everywhere else. But that's it. I'm mostly podcast man at this point in my career.
Some coming attractions. What's coming up on the Chilluminati? What do you have next in your docket?
Alex has the reins for the next couple episodes, and he's talking about some really weird dream stuff. Not like listener dream stuff, but like, have you heard of this man?
No.
A face that has appeared in multiple people.
Oh, I have heard of that. Yeah.
Like that kind of shit. Really weird. And then when he's done, we're going back to the Old West and we're going to learn about a little gunslinger by the name of Belle Starr, one of the most badass females to ever fucking exist in the Wild West. And it's going to be a fun ass multi-part
series. That's my shit right there. Fucking love that shit.
Belle Starr.
We did the Kentucky Cannibal. Go listen to that 4-part series. Right. Hilarious.
Is Belle Starr an actual lady, or is it like a Billy the Kid who would like dress up as a lady to get his like knickers off?
No, actual woman, actual badass woman who ran with some of the most well-known crime gangs, and who we don't know how she died, but we know she was ambushed when she was leaving her friend's house, and any number of person could have taken the opportunity to blow her shoulder off and then blow her neck off with a shotgun.
Yikes.
So, you know, it's fucking badass. It's a Wild West was a cartoon time period.
Well, it truly is, but that's a conversation for another day. Thank you so much for joining us, Mike Mathis. Thank you for giving up your afternoon.
This was awesome.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I knew this was coming at some point. I've been very excited to just ramble about aliens.
Let us all clink our blue lighters together.
Three stoners.
I have a blue one around here somewhere, but I can't find it.
It's okay. It's not needed. We'll talk about it in notes. We'll have it ready for the next episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank all of you for joining us. The one who is the protector of Hyrule with his Hyrulean shield and sword. Well, that's David Miller.
And the one who's got the lowdown on the dirt low. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. That's Michael Santel.
Mr. Mathis, thank you for joining us. Thank you all of you kids and cats for joining us. We'll see all you next time.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, we do it differently. We do it like this. This is how we say goodbye. We do it like this every time. Hold on.
Oh, that's me.
Okay.
You took it so slow. Bye.
That's our show. Thanks for coming round. Don't be sad. No need to frown. We'll have more stories. Don't throw a fit. Goodbye, one and all. And we'll see you in a bit.
It's fine. You'll fix it.
We do it like this every time. And then he does it different than we've done it before.
Okay, bye.